out a generic spin model for the honeycomb air dates that goes beyond the kitab limit. This is work done in collaboration with Eric Lee and Heian Ki at the University of Toronto. So the starting point of this work is the kitab model. So this is an exactly solvable spin half model. It's got really interesting properties. It's got a Z2 spin liquid ground state with gapless Majorana excitations. And unlike a lot of exactly solvable models, it's actually fairly normal looking. So it actually, there we go. It actually takes the form of a simple bilinear term in the spins.
Sure.
Can everybody still hear me? Okay. So it looks like a spin model, except that it's highly anisotropic in spin and space. So on these Z bonds here, so it's on a honeycomb lattice, and on this Z bond here, only the Z parts of the spin interact. On this X bond, only the X part of the spin interacts. On the Y bonds, only the Y part of the spin interacts. So this has a whole bunch of interesting properties that you can look at. I'm not going to talk about any of that. I just want to know, can we actually realize this thing in a real system? So is this possible to actually see? So one proposal for realizing this is was by Jacquelli and Callowin. And so they considered, they called them spin orbit mod insulators, basically transition metal oxides with strong spin orbit coupling, where the oxygen octahedra share an edge. So in this case, the relevant degree of freedom is a J effective half super pseudo spin. And if you only consider exchange that's mediated by this oxygen in this edge, then what you get is actually the kitab model. So the kitab exchange, hold on. Okay. Well, I don't have a pointer, so. The kitab exchange turns out to be ferromagnetic, it's negative, and it's proportional to the Hund's coupling and this Hopping square. So are there any materials that look like this, that have a honeycomb lattice, strong spin orbit coupling, and have an edge shared octahedra like this? And so two prominent candidates are the sodium and lithium iridate. So as you can see in the bottom right there, they're layered compounds, where these layers form a honeycomb lattice. And the oxygen octahedra are edge shared. So because the transition metal in these is iridium, the spin orbit is quite large, so this J effective picture will make sense, most likely. Okay, so there's a bit of a hiccup in this. So if these were a kitab model, then you'd expect this kitab spin liquid ground state. In fact, both of these materials order antiferromagnetically at about 15 Kelvin. So the sodium orders into this so-called zigzag pattern, which was shown there, where the spins are aligned ferromagnetically in a chain, and then the chains alternate. The lithium, there are some reports of an incommensurate spiral order, but it's still a little bit indefinite. So by symmetry principles, any of these things as kitab form isn't protected in any sense. There's no reason to expect that that's all you'll get. So one question is, you know, what more should we get? Could that explain what's happening here? So let's go back to the beginning. So for the iridium ion, you have 5D levels in that are relevant. And when you apply this octahedral crystal field, they split into this T2G triplet and this EG doublet. This C2G triplet behaves like an effective L equal 1 angular momentum. So when you add the spin orbit coupling, it splits into this J effective 1 half level doublet and this J effective 3 half quartet. So this iridium 4 plus is 5D5. So that quartet gets filled and you have a half filled J effective half level. So what we want to do is then consider adding interactions on the site. So in this case, it would be within the T2G orbitals, it would be some Hubbard interaction and some Hund's coupling. And then when you couple those with the kinetic terms, you can get some effective spin model. So what sort of kinetic terms are allowed? So the first type is what I already mentioned, which is this oxygen-mediated hopping, where you go from this XZ orbital onto the oxygen PZ, then onto the iridium YZ orbital. So this interorbital hopping will give you the kitab term. You can also have this type of hopping coming from direct DD overlap. So these 5D orbitals are quite large. So you don't expect this to be completely negligible. So beyond just those types of terms, you also get intraorbital hoppings from the direct DD overlap. So you'll have xz to xz, yz to yz, xy to xy as well. And so in principle, you have three types of kinetic terms. This xz to yz interorbital hopping, this xz to xz and yz to yz intraorbital, and this xy to xy. So what happens when you put this all together? We take our Hubbard interaction and our Hund's coupling, these kinetic terms, and we do the perturbation theory to drive this spin model. So this is the result you get. So first term there is a regular Heisenberg exchange. Second term is the Kadev term that I was discussing earlier. And so this third one is a little unusual. So I've been calling it symmetric off-diagonal exchange. It's also been referred to as symmetric DM. So the main point I want to point out here is that this is not Heisenberg-Kadev. So in the literature, there's a lot of work done on studying what happens when you just add a Heisenberg term to this as a model for these material. But if you actually take this DD overlap seriously and do the perturbation theory, you actually pick up this extra gamma term. And so the way this behaves basically is on that Z bond down there, you have a term that goes like SX, SY plus SY, SX. And on the Y bond, similar thing, you have SX, SZ, SZ, SX. Right? So basically, whichever the type of bond you have is the two types, the two components that aren't in the name of the bond. So why might one need something like this? So if you just take the Heisenberg-Kadev model with no gamma term, you run into some problems. So for one thing, the zigzag phase that they see in the sodium iridate only appears when K is positive, rather than the negative you'd expect if you have this large oxygen-mediated hopping, oxygen-mediated exchange. And second, there's no spiral whatsoever. So there's lots of ways to try to remedy this. Some consider adding extra exchange processes that go through the EG orbitals. That can, in principle, change the sign of K. You can consider adding J2 and J3 and extra stuff. And at that point, it becomes a little bit untenable. So one question is, this gamma term should be there. And microscopically, it is there. And so what happens when we add it? And so the first way to look at it is classically. So the way I've drawn this here is I've parametrized them with angles. So the outside of this circle is the Heisenberg-Kadev limit. And so you can see this big red antiferromagnetic region emanating from the Heisenberg point, the antiferromagnetic Heisenberg point, and then big ferromagnetic region from the blue. This yellow region is the zigzag. And so as you see up there at the top of the circle, that's the positive K regime. So that's where they need to look in the Heisenberg-Kadev case. And so what I really want to point out is these new phases that happen in the middle when gamma is significant. So there's three new phases. So one, there's a zigzag region that actually appears connected to the ferromagnetic Kadev point. So for negative K, if you add a small positive gamma, classically you enter into a zigzag phase. So this necessity to flip the sign of the K is no longer there. There's also this 120 phase. I'm not sure if that's relevant for anything yet, but it's there. And there's actually an incommensurate spiral phase, again, connected directly to this ferromagnetic Kadev point. So the details of this spiral phase actually changes as you move throughout the phase. So I've plotted here, for example, those blue points. This is the Burian zone of the honeycomb lattice. And those blue points are the different spiral wave vectors that appear in this classical phase. And so just a little suggestive thing here. I've put the magnitude of the Q vector that's been reported for the lithium. And so it seems like there's quite a few clusters there that are consistent with that result. So this is classical. This is a spin half model. It's, you're not at the Kadev point, this fails miserably because you haven't, the spin liquid. So to try to see how much of this survives when you include quantum effects, we did some exact diagonalization. So it's a fairly small cluster, 24 sites, but it has all the symmetries and it can support essentially all of these phases except for the incommensurate spiral, which obviously your finite size effects are going to completely ruin. But basically, qualitatively, everything sort of makes sense. You have small Kadev regions near these Kadev points. The stable ferro and antiferromagnetic phases are all there, zigzags there. This gray region in the middle is a bit unclear. So this is where you see this incommensurate spiral in the classical calculations. So there's really no hope of getting that right. Since for a 24-site cluster, you basically only have one K point that's not a high symmetry point. We do see the structure factor is basically maximal at that midpoint k vector, but other than that, it's unclear. So again, you can change the sign of gamma, and it's roughly consistent with what you expect from the classical results as well. So there's essentially three things I want you to take away from this. One, that if you have edge-shared oxygen octahedra with some transition metal atom with strong symmetric coupling, you shouldn't expect to get a Heisenberg-Kitaev. You should expect to get this Heisenberg-Kitaev with this gamma term, even in the most idealized case. Second, when you add this gamma term, you get two kinds of new phases, this 120-degree order and these spirals, which might be relevant for this lithium compound. And three, it looks like there's an additional zigzag phase that's connected to this ferromagnetic point. And that could be relevant for the sodium iridate. And so if you want more details, most of them are published in this paper here. So I can refer you to that, and thank you for your attention.
Okay, thank you very much. Paper's open for questions. Yes, Michelle?
No, so there's an inversion center in the center of the bond.
Further questions, comments? The same question, but two versions. So one is, how two-dimensional are these materials? And do you have a sense for how robust these sorts of phase diagrams are with respect to interactions in the third dimension?
I think they're fairly two-dimensional. For these phases, in the Heisenberg-Kitaev limit, there is, at least at the classical level, there's an additional symmetry where you can get still get gapless points, even though you have the strong symmetric coupling. When you add this gamma, most of like the spin waves, et cetera, gets gapped out. So I'd expect that for small interlayer couplings, it wouldn't be too big of a deal.
Further questions? And I guess, compared to the Heisenberg system, if that was dominating and giving you the order, you'd have very conventional spin waves, albeit in two dimensions.
Yeah.
But with the Kitaev term, and the other term, you probably wouldn't have conventional spin waves. Is that correct?
That's one thing we're exploring right now, especially these. So there's these two different zigzag phases, one that appears near this Heisenberg-Kitaev limit and one that doesn't. And so the spin waves are actually very, very different. So as I was mentioning in the previous question, so the Heisenberg-Kitaev model at the classical level has this accidental spin rotation symmetry. And this guarantees that you normally get, for some of the phases, you get a gapless spin waves. And so when you add gamma, that gets spoiled. So.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions or comments? So if not, I think the plan is to reconvene at 4:00. So we'll reconvene at 4:00. Thank you very much.